This week, we've got streamer, esports host, and former community manager Chewboy, as well as Foothead's head of a lot of things, Luke Zimmerman. We discuss what Chew is calling the best Premier League team of the season ever, plus inside insights on the World Cup mode, the Premier League upgrade pack controversy, and tips for daily knockout success. I'm your host, Ben, and you'll find all that on this week's Foot Weekly Podcast, hosted on Foothead and all your usual podcast platforms. Hello, and welcome to week 34 of the Foot Weekly Podcast, and I'm joined by two guests brought together by their large loss on Team of the Year Ronaldo last year, I believe. Chewboy, Chew, how are you?
Doing all right, packing Pope, feeling good.
Fantastic. And we've also got Luke as well. Luke, how are you?
I'm outstanding, always a pleasure to hop on with you guys.
Great. And so the first thing to get into, of course, we talked about it a bit last week, but Team of the Season is very much upon us now. And as we haven't spoken to either of you during the Team of the Season period, Chu, first of all, have you found the kind of relatively new look Team of the Season this year?
Honestly, well, Community Team of the Season I wasn't really into, but I will say Premiership Team of the Season, I think it might be. It's hard for me to remember, but it's probably one of the best Premier League team seasons ever. I want to say where pretty much 75% or more of the cards are straight up usable, except for Pope.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to say almost the whole team, apart from Pope, is pretty. Like, if you got that player untradeable, you're probably going to use him.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of like, is it one of the best TOTSes ever?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard to argue with that. And of course, that's why that Team of the Season guarantee pack was so good, right?
Exactly. So, you know, everybody was, people wanted the repeatable ones, but I remember Basie was saying that it's actually better that it's not repeatable because, yeah, you're actually looking forward to it. Like, I was actually looking forward to this SBC guaranteed Team of the Season pack. I got Pope in the first one, got Mahrez in the second one. I was, like, really excited about using Mahrez, you know, because I heard what Gorilla was saying about him. He's on that George Best FIFA 16 level. So, so far, it's actually, as somebody that took, I literally took a gameplay break from October till January because I was just getting way too stressed out. I didn't need that in my life. And then coming back in February, this is probably the first time I've enjoyed FIFA 18 gameplay because of the players I've gotten from Premier League team this season. Some of them are ridiculous.
I also think, isn't it, I mean, Luke, coming in on this, isn't it a really nice thing to just get given players and then almost forced to try them out? It makes it almost, whets your appetite for a pack-only mode like World Cup where you get certain players and you kind of have to use them.
Yeah, no, I've actually always liked untradeables because I feel like they were part of your, you know, before SBCs especially, that was part of your forever team, right? That's like your in-game team. Whether you use them or not, they're going to be part of your squad. Now, SBCs give you a little bit more flexibility, although in lots of cases, you're probably trading untradables for other untradables. I guess there's at least a transactional aspect to that. And that's an interesting point that you raised, that perhaps in the future, we'll see more of this, especially as people continue to kind of both gamify the market in their favor and also in a way that maybe is not necessarily healthy for the casual, right? So in the future, we might even see more opportunities like this. I saw something in the Foothead mentions on Twitter earlier today, in fact, where someone was just like, hey, you know, I'm a once or twice a week FUT player. I love the game. I just don't have as much time with my family and my job to put into it as I'd like. What I like about this is that it lets me kind of try out these great players. They're affordable for someone like me. If I don't quite have enough coins, I can still, you know, invest and build up that coin level with a very limited amount of money. And they were actually recommending or requesting, I guess I should say, that they offer this for, you know, other big promos throughout the year, you know, like, Scream Team or Ultimate Scream for, you know, FUTMIS, for that kind of thing. And I think that even if they had, like, you know, maybe more accessible or maybe even better loan options for, like, Team of the Week and stuff like that, then a lot of folks like these type of casuals will incorporate these kind of players into their side.
Mm. And Chu, would you agree if I said that to an extent this must encourage people to spend on the game and put coins in? Because actually, when you see how good some of these players are, like, the, you know, if someone using Team of the Season Mahrez who hasn't used a card of that quality, they're probably going to be encouraged to kind of work on their team further than perhaps they would have done. I know it's easy to say that at this stage in the game, but, you know, towards the end of FIFA when maybe EA can afford to give things away with World Cup mode coming, things like that. But it feels like it's going to encourage engagement in the game, at least, if not spending of money.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm always not skeptical. Well, yeah, you know, skeptical when people say, you know, there's always that thing about the game is dead, but then engagement then leads to spending. And, like, I feel like people, they're not watching FIFA, but they're playing it while they watch other stuff. And I think something like this, you know, like, I even look at myself, like, I'm watching Fortnite, but I'm just, like, grinding away slowly. And I'm engaging the game. And I think engagement leads to spending eventually. So that's why, like, I don't know. You know, the... A lot of people would be like, oh, Fortnite's killing FIFA and so-and-so's FIFA's dead. And so I'm kind of like, I haven't seen any proof because I can't see any numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time,
sorry.
In my experience, as someone that's worked there, it's like they're only in you can only tell when they're in some form of trouble if they do something more drastic. If they put something, like, if they give everybody, like, a free pack, that's when you know they need people back, you know? And I haven't seen them make any, like, crazy moves. They do some nice moves, you know, to make people happy. But I haven't seen anything crazy.
Yeah, we, I think you pointed this out on Twitter, too, that both FIFA and Madden Ultimate Team player base was up 75% year over year. So when those kind of numbers come out on quarterly earning calls, you know, great. Twitter can be very unhappy. Social media can be vitriolic and hate the game and personally attack the developers, etc. But when the player base is growing by that much, that's a lot of people who are experiencing this for the first time. So it could, you know, for influencers,
yeah, that's a good point.
For influencers, for hardcores, you can be burned out. I know certainly I've taken more time off from this year. I've played half as many games as I did last year. You know, I think when you, at the end of the day, if there's that many new players coming in and sort of embracing this and experiencing it for the first time, it's important to kind of keep that in mind in terms of, you know, why there maybe wasn't quite as much new stuff this year as we would have liked.
And also you look at the live service purchasing. So that's like, so this is in EA's recent sort of financial release. Basically live service purchasing is up by 31%. So that's like in-game transactions and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, 25 to 30% from business metrics, that year-over-year growth, that's like a magic number. So I guarantee you the people that are in line to either benefit financially or are in leadership positions at EA, they're doing like cartwheels and backflips over this news.
Usually back at EA, like, I would know, like, when I see a new Porsche in the garage, I'm like, oh yeah, FUT's doing great.
If you think about it, there were 35,000 125k packs the first day of Premier League Tots. I think that's on Xbox and PlayStation. I don't know how many are on PC or Switch or anything else, but say it's another 35,000 total, right? Like, right there, we're talking about 100,000 packs, $25 US a pop. That's $2.5 million in 6 minutes. Like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's obviously even after these earnings that they're talking about. So they obviously did really well. I think the team of the year was very successful as well. So you kind of got to think that as much as people on Twitter seem to suggest that the game's dead or whatever, it's just not held true in what people are spending on the game and uptake in the game as well. So yeah, it's interesting, and it's certainly something we'll be discussing more going forward. But if we get back to like Tots itself, Chu, you were talking about Mahrez. Is he the kind of player you'd pick out as someone you've used as a Tots player who's pretty special? Sorry, I should say that Reese on Twitter was asking who our favorite Tots players we've used so far are.
Mahrez, so for anyone who's trying to pick up Mahrez, I would say if you know how to skill, you'll get value out of him. I think I got it for like, I bought him first, then I packed him, so I sold him back, and it was about, what, 300k. He's medium, so if you like high-medium guys, I'm part of the Inform Alessandrini sweat brigade. For me, still the best cam in the world. So Alessandrini is high-medium, so Alessandrini is always going to be up there, you know? Like, he's going to act like he's one of your strikers, or he's just going to be as close to the goal as possible. Mahrez hangs back a bit. I would say if you know how to skill, pick him up. If you don't know how to skill, you're probably better off with another ST. And the guy that you need to buy is freaking Team of the Season Heung-Min Son. My God, dude, that card is stupid. That card makes no sense. That card makes the 90 from last year's look like a bitch. I don't understand that card. Any shot, weak foot, finesse, long shot, you name it, low driven finesse. It can do anything. It can even head. I've scored like 5-headed goals with him.
So would you
I just don't know. Like, that card has changed my life.
So would you say Son is actually up there above Mahrez for you in terms of effectiveness?
Oh, 100%. I think he's probably the best player in that team this season.
Mm. Wow, that's a big claim. And so, Luke, have you got anyone to kind of take on the mantle? And
yeah, I don't know that I have too much terrible different experiences from Chu. I mean, I was thinking about the same two guys he named. I packed in a tradable pack Son, and as a Spurs fan, that was obviously one I was pretty excited about. I haven't loved him as much as everybody else. I had striker Ronaldo, the very first one, the I guess team of the group stage one, on my team pretty much the whole season. I don't think Son is even as good as him, but it doesn't matter because we're talking about like very little difference. You know, I think where Son really shines for me is his improved stamina. I think that's what makes him a lot better than some of the previous in-form versions of Sonaldo in this game. And I think the one thing that I will give Son is his low-driven shots. Like, low-driven shots are already broken in FIFA, and I think you see this in the competitive scene as well. But like, for whatever reason, that Tots 92 Son just is like even more broken. It's on a whole other level. Just every low-driven shot I take seems to go in. He doesn't feel as fast as his numbers to me, and I don't feel like he's quite on that like Ronaldo Messi level, but he's still, you know, whatever, we're really nitpicking here. Mahrez, I love Mahrez. I think he's the best Tots that I've used from Premier League, and I was the one that tweeted that tweet at Gorilla, like pointing out that the metrics were basically exactly the same as George Best from FIFA 16 and 17, and he plays like it to me. Like, he feels like legend George Best from those previous FIFAs. I'm not a huge skiller. I know a couple moves, and I mostly just use them to set up shots and things like that. I play him at RF and then I switch him to cam in game, and I think that's where his value is setting up shots, because he is medium like Chu said. So if you play him at like true, you know, like almost like a striker or as like a winger, he may give you problems if that's not really your play style. But playing him at cam, it's fine, because then he just kind of takes up that final third, but he's not all the way in the box, and then I can set up Son or, you know, striker Ronaldo or prime icon Ronaldo or whoever else I want, and score goals that way. One other name I'll just throw out there, not even a Premier League Tots, but a Premier League player. I really like Tots Courtois. I got him in one of the most consistent packs, and I think he's better than Team of the Year De Gea. So it's not saying much, maybe, but he's been the best keeper that I've used. I like him better than base De Gea, and Team of the Year De Gea is either the best keeper or the worst keeper. I had too many negative experiences.
He's the benchmark, isn't he? And if he's better than De Gea, that's saying something. And I actually used his not in form for quite a long time before upgrading to De Gea.
He's so tall that even if his metrics aren't quite as good, and he has long throws, so for whatever reason, he's just really, he's been the best keeper that I've used this foot.
Yeah, I could definitely get behind that. It's a good shout. So the players I've used is just, because I don't really run Premier League that much, although I've got Ali into my team at the moment, because I packed him. And I've been quite impressed by Ali, but he's one of those weird players who kind of has like an odd balance. It doesn't quite work for being chem boosted that well in terms of his stats. But in saying that, I'm playing like a false nine at the moment with him as one of the centre mids and Milinkovic-Savic in the other one. The two of them together as the sort of more attacking players work really well because they're sort of going box to box kind of perfect. They're quite well rounded. And although Dele Alli isn't quite as good defensively, he has like 95 base finishing on a guy who can defend. It's kind of perfect for those overlapping runs with the false nine. It works really well, actually. And I think if I was going to use him, that's probably one of the only positions I'd actually play him in, because he's kind of not good enough defensively, even if you boost his defense, to play sort of very defensive. And I don't feel like he's mobile enough. He's not kind of dribbly and agile enough to play as sort of a pure cam. So yeah, he's a very good player, but he's perhaps not quite on the kind of elite tier of team of the season players in that team. But he is.
I think if you want to shout, is just like CMs, not as cams, despite what their positions may be. I like both Spurs guys, Ali and Eriksen, as just CMs, because their defense is just good enough. If you throw on like, you know, an anchor or a shadow or whatever, if you're really concerned about it, that'll help level it out. But both of those guys are kind of like poor man Hullet level, or, you know, not quite like, you know, Pele or anyone like that, but like the metrics are really, really good on them, and I've been playing them at CM and they've just been monsters in the middle. So I don't worry about the lack of goal scoring. I've still gotten a couple with each, but they just do just enough, and they're so active in the interior that it's like playing with like an icon level player.
Yeah, definitely no Spurs bias there then.
No, none at all.
We'll move on. So I think that's an interesting roundup of Team of the Season players. Obviously, if any of you out there listeners, if you use Team of the Season players and want to get in touch, we'll try and include some of them throughout this Team of the Season period. So do get in touch at FootWeeklyPod, or you can email us footweekly@mail.com. Right, so one of the things that we've been asked, which is actually from Wise Fever, who obviously comes on the podcast a bit, he is asking whether we're disappointed with the fact that EA haven't decided to release kind of those lower tier Team of the Season squads. We've still got 50 rest of the world players, we should say that, available through SBCs each week. But Chu, what are your thoughts on this? Are you sad to not see those squads, or not too concerned?
I'm probably not the best person to ask, since I didn't always enjoy those. I never really like had a thing for those squads. I think if you did have a thing for those squads, I would be disappointed. I think you're right to be disappointed. What just sucks is that usually, you know, remembering when I used to play on Team of the Season, is that yeah, as soon as you have a World Cup, you have to condense things. And I like the idea of the way they condense things. Like, I think that's a good way to add the weekly objectives and the SBCs into it, using the capabilities that FIFA 18 has to take some of that steam off. Because I mean, I guess there's less players, but you're not spending money to get them. So does that offset the disappointment? But there's less variety, I guess. There's less amounts of players to get, you know. But I would say, you know, usually with those kind of things, when you look at it objectively, the amount of people that are vocally disappointed are not the same amount of people that are actually disappointed. Like when you look at actual metrics, you know, usually with EA, that's a lot of the way they'll look at things, like how many people actually engage with, you know, this team season, or how many people use these players, things like that. So people will be very vocal about it, but maybe objectively when they looked at numbers, it's a loss willing to take, and you're giving people stuff for free. You know, not free, but without them spending a ton of money.
I think you've got a point in that. How many of those? So there's these big rest of the world squads, quite a few of them, but actually it was probably only four or five players from each squad that actually got used by people. So why not just turn it into 50 players who are among the best or most usable or best performers from those leagues, and then put them into SBCs, rather than kind of creating squads many of the players aren't used, and then also maybe aren't that big an incentive for people to open packs.
Exactly.
You got to keep in mind too that everybody is so short-sighted in the FIFA community, especially on social media, where there's a lot of incentive to just kind of react vitriolically to like get RTs and favorites and that kind of thing. But especially when we get to those like top 20 players, like it's going to be more name players, and like that Tots rest of the world 10 through 1 or 9 through 1, whatever that SBC is, like that's going to have some really good players for a pretty good price. So
it's going to be quite exciting as well.
Yeah, if it's the same thing as it requires now, you're going to get a monster tradable player that you can either like that, if they have a Tots Lozano, like that thing is going to be extinct at its max price cap, and they'll just keep raising it, and people will keep buying it anyway, and like who knows whether it will actually be any good or not compared to the, you know, inform. I'd assume it would be, but sometimes you see with these like cheap beasts that are incredible first, second informs, when they get the Tots isn't as good as you might hope. So we'll have to see, but I think that people's perspective will change when we get, you know, 2-3 weeks from now when those are coming out, relative to the frustration now. And I want to echo too, like, look, we all are quick to criticize EA and game studios in general when they do stuff that we're not happy with or make decisions that we don't agree with or don't understand, but they're usually making educated ones. They're not just like responding haphazardly. They didn't just like take away these Team of the Seasons to spite the community or anything like that. They saw, you know, okay, well, we were doing these Monday, Tuesday releases and they're just not really moving the needle. Like, we're not going to put all the time and effort. That's like the stat team, that's SBC guys, that's, you know, people that have to dynamically crop the photos for design. Like, that's multiple people's workloads that they can have focus on stuff like the World Cup instead. So if it comes down to resources, if they're not really, you know, and especially if they do stuff like the guaranteed TOTS SBCs, which I think what I think happens with these is, well, one, people sink coins and they sink players that would otherwise be useful to them in a couple weeks to open packs with the World Cup, when you can only use coins, right? And you can't, there's no trading market or transfer market rather to build your team with. They're going to be useful there. That depletes the, you know, the coin supply in the market and in clubs right now, so people will be more likely to spend then when they don't have those coins. But also when people open these Premier League TOTS packs and don't get the player they want, I think that's like one of the biggest, there's just this like huge human instinct to be like, oh, I didn't get Kyle Walker, I only got, you know, Ashley Young. Well, I'm going to try to open some packs to get Kyle Walker, or I'm going to spend even more coins opening packs. So,
yeah, exactly. And also, one of the things that you mentioned there, and also one of the people who responded to our request for questions mentioned, D. Luca, he mentioned these do seem like a coin sink in order to encourage people to spend money on the World Cup mode and reduce their kind of coin balance. But also, he was saying that he like you were kind of mentioning earlier, actually thinks they're a fantastic way of lesser players or less, I guess, time poor and maybe FIFA point poor players as well, getting the very top players. And he was sort of saying, is this something we might see continually over the next sort of year, not just at the end of the year for TOTS? I'm inclined to kind of say no to that, because I think that the current system works for them, so they won't feel the need to give out players at the early stages. And then also, I mean, we could see maybe foot swap in the early stages, maybe, but I don't see these necessarily being introduced. But also, the World Cup, I think, is a factor, as he says in his tweet, and as you were just saying. Yeah, you kind of want to get you to lock away those coins into those players so you can't transfer that wealth into the World Cup mode. As we mentioned last week, it will be a shared wallet, so you can take those points and coins into the mode. Do you think that's an accurate sort of assumption, Chu, or am I kind of being a bit kind of conspiratorial about it?
I mean, in terms of coin, like, I mean, I can never really tell fully, you know, unless you hear it from the horse's mouth itself. Because I would say usually a lot of things, like coming out of EA, a lot of things like are pretty sure are a tactic by EA. Sometimes we'll just be like looking at each other at desk and be like, wait, well, that was our plan? Like, huh? Like, you know what I mean? I do think like, the coin sick, I want to believe the coin sick thing. I always do. I've never had like proof of it. But
I think it's an added benefit, right? Like, I don't know that they necessarily are just sitting around, like, they're not sitting around collapsing their fingers like a supervillain, like, let's steal coins out of the market.
No, I mean, we should say this for what it is as well. It's a kind of generous move that has allowed a lot of people to try out players that they wouldn't have otherwise been able to use and keep them as well. So I'm absolutely believe that this is a positive step. And you think last year we obviously had a lot of SBCs which sunk coins, which maybe weren't so directly beneficial. So
yeah, I think something else that we haven't even touched on really yet is the kind of controversy of the not having upgrade packs, which I think as mentioned,
yeah, I was actually gonna talk about this, so you've segued it nicely, we might as well.
Yeah, it wasn't like super controversial to me, maybe as much as we think from what we see on kind of the echo chambers of social, but what was frustrating was that, like, I do agree with the idea that, like, this, while Chu mentioned it, these were exciting things, like, we got up for these, it's maybe like 5 minutes of dopamine, right? Like, Sundays and Tuesdays, you would do this thing, and that's it for the whole week. And that kind of blows. Like, you'll have packs on Friday, SBC Sunday, SBC Tuesday. That's a lot of dead time. So I agree that having these upgrade SBCs is a benefit to that. I think where it gets to be a win is that it was just such low-hanging fruit. Like, it couldn't have been that difficult to re-implement the same model from last year. And I think it was also, like, this isn't, again, you know, EA is not, contrary to what you may read on some certain spots in the internet, some like super sinister Dr. Evil villains or, you know, whatever. Forget about like the depleting the coins. Like, this, we've talked about how this is probably one of, if not the best Premier League SBC or Premier League TOTS ever, right? So this SBC is drawing Premier League players, and these are all ridiculously high rated, like 90 and higher, except for Pope. The odds of pulling them is going to be really, really low. So it's just kind of as an added bonus to them, has that effect of depleting the coin supply for World Cup, even though that's not even why they did it. It's like, hey, we'll make everybody happy, and then, oh, everybody will spend more in 3 weeks anyway. It's win-win.
Last year in Community Team of the Season, did we have upgrade packs during Community?
I don't remember if it started from Community. It definitely was during the leagues, because I built almost an entire Serie A squad just using the upgrade packs. Like, 3/4 of my team were untradeable, but they were all, I didn't think about this until last night, they were rated like 85 to 90, so the odds of getting them would be a lot better than these guys.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, what if they're gonna bring them anyway, but it just started with Premier League?
Yeah, that's a good conspiracy theory. You know, they can make it look like it was this big epic win by the team, but they were just going to do it anyway.
I mean, yeah, because I won't lie, sometimes that kind of stuff happens where just like, oh shit, this is a win? Oh shit. Yeah, I'm not saying like, you know, I don't want to take any discredit No, because I think it was definitely a big win, and I'm happy that it came. But I'm just like, didn't these start at the same time last year? So weren't we just going to get them, but we were just kind of mad and bored and then got mad about it? And then they were going to come anyway? Like, you know what I mean?
All I'm saying is that what better way to announce a new community manager than have them?
Oh, yeah. This guy, he's going to be good. He's getting it already. The main thing, any future community managers out there, the main thing you need to do is undersell everything before it comes out. Act like it's nothing.
That
because if you act like
that pack tweet was
exactly. I mean, I don't know if he planned. If he planned that, yo, this guy's like the freaking. This guy's an evil genius. I love him.
the way he tweeted about them being in the store. So we should probably like fill in a little bit because some people might not be fully aware of what happened. Basically, there's a new community manager for FIFA specifically. We've had an EA Global community manager who's been kind of present-ish in the community, Corey, for a little bit. But we've now had employed a actual community manager. He's from Brazil, but obviously working in Canada. And you'll find him on Twitter as Mr. Zaro. And he basically sort of took on everyone's feedback about the fact that there were no Premier League upgrade packs, which you had two types. You got the one that does the non-rares mainly and just a sort of not just players pack, and then the premium one, which is players as well. And people love grinding these, so that's why people were pretty upset about them not being
people
in the
love
game.
Grinding them when they get what they want, but
yeah.
A lot of people out there, you know,
a lot
I've
people
seen
have done like 50 and not got anything, and they're like, oh, these are stupid anyway.
I
probably did 100 of each. I would say the net, I had a system, so I was mostly just using untradables and then kind of using the prize players that I'd pull to put back into the other SBC. So I didn't spend like 1.5 million coins or anything. I think I'd probably spent about 900,000 coins, sold about 450, 500 in duplicate players, like some higher rated even, because I've pulled every player, like non-tots essentially in the 80s. So I just would keep those as untradables for future SBCs and sold the dupes that I had that were tradable to kind of fund the rest of it. So I'd say my net spend was probably about 500-600k net. I probably opened 100 of the players, 100 of the premium non-players. I got 3 tots out of 100 packs, like 200 packs, whatever.
Yeesh.
So it is the
still,
odds are really really low. I think
yeah,
if you do the
not
math,
like a loss, I guess.
Yeah, it's So I looked at it like I pulled Kyle Walker in my very last pack, which I was thrilled about because my Premier League team, and I guess this is just my final regular FUT team pre World Cup. I needed a right back. I was playing like second inform Moses, who's I think sneaky good, mind you.
Walker
is still quite the upgrade. So I was, and I'm also a Spurs fan, admittedly. I'm a Bayern Spurs fan, which is a weird mix. So I love Pep. So like, if there's a second favorite team in the Premier League, it's City. Forget about their success; they could suck. I will stand for Pep forever and ever. So Kyle Walker, having been an ex Spurs player who plays for my former manager at Bayern, I absolutely love him. So I was thrilled about that. I got Pope in my first one, of course. I hadn't been Poped yet this FUT, unlike everybody else. And I got in the other one, Mane, who I loved his player of the month at the beginning of FIFA. I thought that was like the best left mid in a 4-4-2, like until very recently, until I guess Ronaldinho came out, prime Ronaldinho. So I'm pretty satisfied with that. But the time, it probably took 8 hours to build all those packs and open 200 packs. Like, that's, if you just do the math, like how much, you know, it's not about like what your earning is, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a student. It doesn't matter what your income is. Like, 8 hours is a considerable amount of time and energy. And then there's just like a psychological effect to opening all those packs and just getting nothing after nothing. It just really wears on you. So it's great when you get the blue, like the dopamine rush is next level. Like it was better than winning the daily knockout tournament. Like pulling that Kyle Walker after, because I got Mane and Pope in an hour. So maybe 30 packs total, or less than that, 20 packs. It was incredible. I should have just stopped there, but I had to open that next 80, 160, whatever it was for each type. it was a long, hard road to get there. So you see these guys that are pulling, you know, Salah, or they're pulling Firmino, or pulling De Gea, or whoever it is out there that you're wishing you got. There's also people that like liquidate their club and open like 30 of the Premier League premium player packs, and they get nothing. So
I mean, I know plenty of people who've opened 50 plus who haven't got a TOTS. So, you know, you've been warned, basically, anyone who's going to smash through this. And last year, I made an absolute fortune just selling off my, by the end of Team of the Season, just selling off gold players who people buy, because they'll buy them for like over a K and you'll have tons of players sitting in your club. You sell off 100 players, it's over 100K. It's pretty decent to take advantage of as well, if you're into your trading. But yeah, the end result was that whether it was through the new community manager's needling of the dev team, which it may have been, you know, or the live content team, we did see these packs, as we were just saying. And the way that it was kind of delivered was amusing, to say the least, because he tweeted saying that those packs that everyone wanted were in the store, so you could buy them with coins or FIFA points, which obviously wasn't what everyone wanted. And then a little while later, he said that they were available as SBCs, which, as Chu was indicating, if it was deliberate, was pretty nicely done, because the reaction...
Very nicely.
You know, suddenly flipping.
Love it. Love this guy so far. He gets it. Actually, yeah, that this is what I was saying before. You need to undersell. Because I remember the biggest one I ever had as community manager was FUT World Cup 14, where I was worried that the community would hate FUT World Cup because it had no transfer market and it was like, I guess, a smaller mode. So what I teased the mode with was just like Man the Match cards. So there's like it's still up there somewhere. There's like an image of like three cards and it's just blurred out, and we're like, okay, this is coming May something. So everyone's like, oh, it's just Man the Match cards. Oh, you know, of course they would just do that. Money. And then it's like, boom, World Cup mode, suck it. And they're like, oh my God, World Cup. I mean, we did have to delay by a day and everybody hated us. But that was the biggest excitement. You got to – I think this is going back to when Yasser, who – I think the community's giving that guy way too hard of a time. He was never a community manager. He's just a dev guy that liked to actually – talk to you.
There's a lot of misunderstanding about these roles in general. Like we were just mentioning Corey. Like Corey was never a community guy. Like he's a pretty senior level comms dude who was just hopping in because everything was on fire. Like I know that even his light touches and what little free time he had still wasn't enough for many folks. Like nothing he was doing was his job. So the same with Yasser. Like people still think that he was the community manager before Gabe, which is definitely not the case. So it's usually a good idea not to attack strangers on the internet, but you should definitely not attack strangers for things that have nothing to do with their professional responsibilities.
Yeah.
And I mean, too, yeah, you know, to be fair to community, I mean, like at the same time, it's like, I guess the mistake EA makes is not making it clear.
Yeah, yeah. And also not having a manager, right?
Exactly. And also not having a community manager as well. So, you know, all the people are taking the flag for it. But I think the thing that I remember I was streaming at the same time, and Yasser, you know, was new on the scene. Not a community guy, right? So I'm like, all right, you know, usually with devs, like they'll misjudge a communication thing because that's not their level of expertise. You know, they're good at where they excel. Like I don't know how to produce a game. Like I don't know, he knows. But I remember he was hyping up was it like a Man of the Match thing, and everybody thought it was a full Man of the Match. And as soon as I hear people think it's like, I was like, I know it's not going to be a full band.
It's like, it was that Barcelona performance.
It was just
it?
Hero and Roberto, but he made it sound like it was going to be this be all end all.
Exactly. And
you make a good point about that, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember I was streaming as soon as that happened. I was like, guys, I swear to God, it's not a full team. And I was just like, this feels like deja vu because this is a mistake I made once. And I swear it's only going to be one Man of the Match. Everyone's going to like lose their shit over him because, again, if you do the reverse and you give the FIFA community hope for the best thing ever. Their best thing ever never equals to what you think the best thing ever is. Their best thing ever is like, give me like $100 right now. Like everybody's getting $100. Like something ridiculous in terms of expectations. We're just a community with very high hype expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Do you know what
and
it reminds
if you
me of?
Don't deliver on that, just get like you are dead. You are done to us.
If anyone's watched Game of Thrones and is aware of like the kind of constant speculation around theories and stuff, and I've got a friend who's just like always on Reddit and stuff and like all over it, and the stuff he comes out with a million times crazier and more impressive than the actual story itself. And I feel like it's a bit like that with Foot sometimes, that people can, you know, there's monkeys at a typewriter, all these people on Twitter constantly typing out their theories about what might happen, all this kind of stuff. At the end of the day, at EA, there's a couple of guys who are extremely good at their job trying to come up with ideas, and they're not always going to come up with the crazy ideas or have the time to implement the crazy ideas that people in the community actually come up with.
Yeah, I think the latter is an important part. Like, we'll give poor Yasir a break, but, you know, some of the craziest and best ideas, doesn't matter like how genius or talented some of the teams are, if the boss knows that he's beholden to, you know, the CEO and the board and all this stuff, like some of those great ideas, just because of the risk involved, are going to be squashed out the door. So you'll get it from the perspective of a business, which I don't think a lot of the FUT players have the experience and the capability, or, you know, just the awareness. It's just, it's not that they're, you know, they're not intentionally churning out the same thing despite you. I think it's just important to keep that in mind. Like, these are people doing the best they can. They have bosses too. And sometimes, you know, what they're told, okay, sorry, that idea is great, but we just can't do that. That's, or we don't have time to do that. I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind, where, you know, it's okay to like do other things. It's okay to not like buy every pack from every promo. Like, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make the game worse or better. Like, there are always fair criticisms to be had of the game, but some of the like, I think, like you said, it's almost like the Westworld phenomenon, where you have these like insane Reddit theories and insane like Twitter theories, and then the actual thing is like, if someone predicted it, you're like, oh, that was predictable, that's boring. Or if it is like not as cool, like you mentioned with like Game of Thrones, it's just, it's like an expectations bias thing. So if you expect nothing, then you'll always be pleasantly surprised. So it's easier said than done, but
exactly.
And actually, this leads on quite nicely to what we're going to talk about just after the break, which will be the World Cup. And we're also going to have a couple of tips for daily knockout and squad battles for those objectives as well. So we'll see you in just a second. Well, that was a long first half of the podcast, so why not reward yourself by leaving us a review wherever you get your podcast? And also, if you don't already subscribe, please do, and you can do that if you're listening on Foothead through the links just below where the podcast is embedded, or just search Foot Weekly on your podcast provider of choice. Well, welcome back to part two of the Foot Weekly podcast. Did you enjoy your Foot Weekly break, Chi? Was that good for you?
Yes, I did. It's usually the best break in podcast history.
I think that'd be correct. And of course, Luke, did you hydrate yourself? I think you did.
Yeah, I got a delicious mineral water. I'm living the dream. Fizzy water, as you guys call it, right?
Oh, sparkling water, in fact.
There you go.
Or fizzy water, if you want to be, you know, different. But yeah, let's move on to the second half of the podcast, because we've got plenty more to talk about. We've got World Cup, which Chu is a bit of a specialist, as you might have mentioned in the first part of the podcast. We wanted to get your insights, because yeah, you've actually revealed, in contrast to what you were just saying, actually, quite a lot about World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited to be on this end of the FUT World Cup. To see it from this end. I actually never really got to play the last one, if I'm being honest. I was so freaking busy launching it and then maintaining it. And then I was just like exhausted by the end of it. So I think I only played like a couple matches. So I really want to experience it from this end. And I like being part of the hype cycle. I think it looks pretty freaking sick. I like the design of it. It's looking like it's the same kind of thing pretty much as 14, which is good. And then, I don't know, it apparently has like SBCs as part of it too, so that'll be kind of nice.
Yeah, right? I saw that, which is an interesting addition, isn't it? And also there was this news that we saw, again, maybe good feedback from the community, that they are potentially finding a way of handling duplicates, which would be nice.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that'll be really good, because I think that was probably a big thing last year, where it's like you just have to quick sell if you pack Messi twice. And it was pretty easy to pack Messi, actually.
Yeah, I feel like card weights were a bit different. Would that be fair to say?
It's been in French, so I don't know.
Card weights would be a lot less.
I don't totally know what it says, but I Am French has been like breaking down the pack odds. There's like only 500 or 600 players plus icons. So like, you do the basic math. The problem is the packs suck. They're basically premium gold or super jumbo premium gold packs.
Yeah, they're 5.
Yeah,
5
and 7.5 Ks, I think. Maybe a 15 like special, but it's like you're gonna have to open hundreds and hundreds of packs. But the odds are there. You gotta think. Like, I'd kill to have an icon. Mm.
But I mean, on the other hand, you know, I thought pack weighting wasn't as simple as that. Like, your chances of packing Ronaldo aren't exactly the same as your chance of packing Iheanacho.
No, but it's still like, right, you know, 0.0001 times 500 is a lot better than 0.0001 times 20,000 or whatever, right? So it's all proportional to an extent.
So, Jude, do you think that they've put too many of their eggs in the basket or showed us their goods too early on, if you like? Because it feels like we kind of know pretty much everything that's going to happen in World Cup mode, which obviously last time, I mean, it was new, but we didn't really know anything about it.
Yes and no, because I think they had to put all that information there based on the state of the community at the time where everybody was, we're all kind of upset. About the lack of hype, so I think you kind of had to like boom, like, all right, this is what's coming, you know, as a stopgap until then. What I am worried about is, I would say in FIFA 14, FUT World Cup was played vigorously for about 3 weeks, I want to say, 3 to 4 weeks, and then, you know, people just went straight back to the regular FIFA. So I wonder if it's, yeah, FUT World Cup was something that burnt super bright. I still think it was like the high at the time was the highest usage number in FIFA history was when FUT World Cup launched. I think for the next up until when I left in FIFA 16, it was still the highest number of people online playing Ultimate Team in one day. So what I'm worried about is if it's the same content. I mean, it does have, if it has the SBC part and the icons part, that's a lot better, but I wonder if we consume content so quickly that we'll burn through it faster. If they don't have some kind of like schedule, like to maybe the SBCs, something to keep going, because that's the one thing I noticed with in the community is our, I don't know if our appetite is actually ever satiable in the terms of the amount, because we go through shit like quickly and we want like to do things unlimited amount of times. But I don't know, we get kind of bored. Even I'm not saying like I get bored quickly too. So I'm wondering, how long will we play for World Cup this time? I'm guessing the same amount. I'm guessing like 3 to 4 weeks, same amount. I hope it's not less, but if they did have something, you know, if they do keep something behind, maybe they, you know, they haven't shown us what icons are coming. Maybe is it brand new icons or is it returning legends? I would say it's returning legends, but I have heard of somebody that was almost put in through some other weird means, really random, which I won't say. So I'm hoping that's brand new icons.
I don't want to also like set improper expectations. I'm really like, something I hate more than anything is when even fringe influencers like traders or somebody like that try to hype something up without knowing what they're talking about, because it sets dangerous levels of people like think something's coming and then it's not. So take this with a huge grain of salt. Futhead is not predicting this or guaranteeing it, but I heard at the Capture event in September, I asked an EA producer, I was like, is it possible we will see more icons than are in the game at launch? And they said, I'm not saying it's possible, like essentially winking a nod, right? So,
yeah, and so that's why I think it's returning legends, because you could call them new icons. Because when I look at the vernacular of the when I try to look through, like, you know, like EA speak of the article FUT World Cup, it's like, yeah, new icons. Yeah, well, a legend last year is not an icon this year, so
yeah,
it's not new to us, but it's a new icon. And then I think we saw that some legends from last year, like the George Best, yada yada yada. We saw them were in FIFA 18 all of a sudden randomly. Like, you could find their pictures on FIFA 18 through some means. I think this was earlier this year. And usually, I mean, they wouldn't, if it was for FIFA 19, they wouldn't put it that early into FIFA 18. So that's why I'm kind of like, that was for FUT World Cup.
The only thing is, they
get that kind of vibe.
Do you think like someone like George Best, who obviously, like, I mean, Northern Ireland didn't qualify, do you think he'd be in still?
I wonder if, yeah, that's a good point. Maybe they do something where they only take the guys who did go to the World Cup, and then like after World Cup, it's just like, all right, yeah, everybody's here for FIFA 18. Like, you get all these new guys for FIFA 18. I don't know if that's good or bad for FIFA 18. I mean, I guess it can never be bad, because you just get more stuff to do in FIFA 18. Yeah. I wonder if it's like, oh, do you save that for FIFA 19? Like, the person I heard about is actually being saved for 19, I believe, instead of maybe put in halfway through 18. So it's for me, I'm leaning more of this returning legends. That's what my gut is saying.
Yeah,
it's more returning legends and maybe like a spice of like a couple.
We know that there will be Ronaldinho from the marketing graphics, and we know that, I think if you buy the game now, you get a three match icon loan player, kind of similar to how you got R9 at the start of FIFA. I'm kind of right there with you. It's like, I could see them. Yeah, that's a really interesting point, though, about George Best. I hadn't thought about that. He never played in a World Cup. So they're not, that wouldn't make sense to have like a World Cup icon, George Best. Like, what? Like, the, yeah. So that'll be interesting to see.
And also, he would have no other players of that nationality in the game.
Well, I mean, icon either, chemistry, right? So.
Yeah, that wouldn't necessarily make a difference. I mean, icons could also, I was thinking about this, and could actually be really important because of the weird way that chemistry works in World Cup mode. You link up with your, basically people from your continent, which is kind of interesting because I guess like certain players link up, which never...
The one thing I don't like is because I'm a big champion of squad diversity. Like, I don't like seeing the same team every single time. That's why I think FIFA Mobile is so cool because people can just play with whoever they want. What sucks is that you're just going to have like UEFA, 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 UEFA. Yeah, you're not going to see, especially with US out, you're not going to see any CONCACAF squads. Like, you occasionally on Weekend League, you'll get some like insane person playing like a full MLS team. Like, you're not going to get a full African team, hardly ever. So,
I mean, there are some interesting all African concepts, but I suppose one thing that I was thinking about icons, legends, which is obviously could make the difference, is if their chemistry is the same as it is currently, then, you know, you can bridge the gaps between continents, which you previously just couldn't do. So it is kind of a weird thing where like a Brazilian player, let's say Fernandinho, just doesn't link at all with De Bruyne. It makes it tricky to build squads, but at the same time, you do get that kind of perfect link between De Bruyne and, I don't know, Lukaku. So there is downsides and positives to it. I just think, it, as you say, it is a bit restrictive. But yeah, those icons and legends could make a difference. The only other thing that I'd probably say about it is, what are your thoughts on the SBC factor? Do you think that could actually help with the game's like longevity overall? And then I'm thinking maybe also the timing. It's only just it's not too long before the World Cup starts itself that we're getting the mode. So maybe that could encourage it to last throughout that and beyond a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's the way they can make it last a bit. I mean, maybe a few SBCs a week or every couple or every 3-4 days, I think. That'll definitely help it give a longer tail because, again, 14 is just packs and you get players. So this time, you have more capabilities with FIFA 18. And, yeah, I would say that's probably the best way to elongate the play time of this mode. And I hope we play for a long time. Like, I really cannot wait to just sit down and just enjoy a full World Cup for once. It's gonna be sick.
I want to touch on one thing that we haven't mentioned. Something that caught my eye as Chu mentioned that he kind of sat down and tried to dissect the kind of press releases from EA Vernacular. I'm the same way. And something that like really I keep thinking about is dynamic items built to match real world performance. These items will update based on the performance of players who stood out on match day with upgrade stats, ensuing a fresh and relevant experience for the entire tournament. What if, and hear me out, this is again, please do not run to Twitter or Facebook or Reddit or whatever and be like, Funhead says, Fun Weekly Podcast says, I'm not predicting this, but what if every single item is like a once to watch?
Oh yeah, that's what I think it is.
That's what I kind of thought maybe, yeah. And that what it could go off like the match ratings that the players get in each game and they change a bit.
Yeah, so like you get a Ronaldo and he has like a monster tournament, Portugal wins, LOL. But hey, say that happens, like you start with like a 94 and at the end of the World Cup you have a 99, like something like that, that'd be amazing.
Wait, is that what happened in Foot World Cup 14? Yeah, if they got a team of the week, because James went all the way up.
Yeah, I remember too the Klose, like he went up, but I don't really remember how it worked overall.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is possible that they'll just do that on like a kind of massive scale, so there's like loads more. I mean, there's a lot of players, obviously, but if you think that in each game, maybe 14 players on each team actually play, and maybe many of them won't change rating, but it'd be quite easy to upgrade like a fair few players based on their performance after every game.
Well, think about career mode. So, I mean, career mode dynamically upgrades players on like a weekly basis. Yeah. So why not, right?
That's a really good point, yeah. So that could be quite a good aspect. And obviously they're not having to kind of like literally, I don't know, it's almost like they're upgrading the card rather than bringing out a new design, if that makes sense. So it's not quite the same level of, I guess, stuff going on in the background. So yeah, no, I think that's an interesting prospect. Certainly, certainly feasible as well, according to Chewboy, former community manager and head of news at Foothead. Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Definitely happening now. Every day, at least six. Cool. So I think we're probably ready to wrap up World Cup there. So the final thing I want to quickly get into is I've had a few people contact about, you know, the trials and tribulations of winning the daily knockout. And, you know, none of us here are pro players at all. And I think we're all capable of winning daily knockout. And I was just wondering whether you guys had any tips for our listeners who might be kind of struggling a little bit with winning that tournament, because, you know, it isn't straightforward for a lot of people, especially if you're playing squad battles a lot of the time. Are there any things that you kind of suggest people did to help win the daily knockout?
All right, this is what you do. All right, you go. Transfer market. Search player. Lozano, 84. You put him in your squad. 66 minutes. You bring him in. See what happens. Boom, you win. Easy.
I actually thought you were going to mention another less than legitimate method, which allows you to sort of receive the DKT reward.
Didn't they close that playing. For the? I thought they fixed that. We're not encouraging this behavior because it's cowardly, and I mean,
it's just important we highlight these things, you know, so that they don't go unnoticed. Luke, do you have anything particular you'd suggest?
Yeah, so this is a safe space, right? Can I admit to something a little sinister in my own right? So this is the thing I've been doing this TOTS, and I don't really know why, because I don't need to do it per se, and it involves the controversial aspect of training cards, which are banned in Weekend League but are not banned in the daily knockout tournament.
Oh god.
So, no, I'm not.
I love this.
I'm
all the dirty secrets are coming out.
Epistemological or whatever. I'm not going to open up a philosophical argument about whether or not these are like moral, but this is what I do, all right? So I have a ton of excess training cards from just opening packs and FUD all year, you know, some through SBCs, some through FIFA points. I don't use the ones that actually give me any perceived advantage, except on keeper, because I have like 100 silver keeper boosts. So sorry, admittedly, I am giving my keeper a little bit of an edge. But I have all these stupid ones like physical, dribbling, like stuff that makes no sense, gold, silver, and bronze. And I just throw them on my team. Like, I don't know that giving Bailly a dribbling boost, or giving, you know, my 90 physical prime R9 a physical boost or whatever. Like, that's a bad example. I don't even think he has 90 physical. He's probably lower. I try to basically like use these cards to freak my opponent out, if that makes sense. I'm not actually, I don't think giving my fullbacks, who are already like high dribbling or high pace, dribbling or pace, does anything personally. So I try to use like the ones that like I put defense on prime R9, like stuff like that just isn't going to really give me much of an edge, if anything, but I think it gets under the skin of my opponent and makes them think that I have like full gold boost on everybody or full silver boost on everybody, when in reality, like, my keeper is benefiting, but I'm just using throwaway ones that I would just discard otherwise in a pack opening, because I am a crazy hoarder and I just still have like everything I've packed all year that isn't a dupe. So I've done that in finals. Like, I don't do it in the first three rounds. And like, I did it to this one kid who was like a university student in Texas. I'm based in Texas, for those that don't know. And I got matched up with this university student in Texas. I could tell because his username like had to do with his school. I broke his brain. I won like 5-1 and he rage quit. And he messaged me like all this vitriol, like, you are a sick person. Like, you should quit this game and never play again and all this stuff. But I think it does kind of give you a little bit of a psychological edge, because again, I don't think putting dribbling on your center backs or like defense on your left forward and right forward are going to like really give you that much of an in-game benefit, but it kind of just freaks the opponent out and makes them think your team is better than they are, because they don't know what you use those boosts are. For all they know, it's full, you know, all stat boost. So that's what I do. I think like obviously the sweatier team, the better team you can field, the better. But there's a huge delta. Like I lost to some dude in the my second go, or first go rather, of the Junior Hoylett or whatever that dude's name is, Hoylett, Canadian, Chew, you gotta,
oh, Hoylett,
yeah. I lost in my first semi, Hoylett, baby Hoylett. I lost in my I lost in the semis of that, the first try, against like a total starter squad. So you can't always judge a book by its cover. Just, I think like the really hard thing is to just really focus, because everyone wants to win that prize. Obviously, we don't really care about qualification for the Weekend League at this point, since the prizes haven't changed. And I saw Kieran, the YouTuber, he says that he always messages people win or lose after the final, and he messaged some guy like, good game, man, you played really well. And of course, like, do that after you beat somebody, they're gonna think that you're messing with them. So maybe don't do that, even if you think you're being a good sport. Like, put yourself in other people's shoes, show some empathy, be a human being, but also use discard training items to mess with people. That's what I'm saying. So
to trigger people, yeah. So the key thing for me, was a couple of things, but has made it really quick is picking your kind of time to play. So if you're playing at sort of, I guess in the UK, it'd be, well, I guess it'll be the same anywhere really, but you know, between like 5 p.m. and sort of 9 p.m., you're really likely to come up against sort of players who are just, you know, casual players playing the game, seeing if they can win the DKT. So that's probably a great time to play. And then the actual biggest factor is when you've got this week where the DKT goes on from Monday to Thursday, if you're someone who's kind of trying to, you know, get it done and you use most of your attempts on the Monday and you're not a particularly good player, then that's never going to be a good idea, because you're only going to be playing, well, you're much more likely to play really top players on the Monday because they won't have won it already. Obviously, there's a limit. So if you're playing it on Thursday, your chances are most of your good players are going to have won it pretty comfortably in the sort of Monday or Tuesday window. So I'd 100% recommend saving as many attempts as you can kind of afford until the final 2 days, I suppose, of the tournament, because you'll just face slightly easier opponents.
Even if you're a halfway decent player, I find that when I play for the 2 day ones the second day, or for the 4 day ones the fourth day, it's always way easier.
Yeah, I mean, I won, I think last Thursday I won the Hoylet, and he's not a great team this season, obviously, in, I think it was like less than half an hour. So yeah, and at a good time as well.
Yeah,
so
I think echoing from an NA perspective, it's the same. If you play when people are off work, like casuals are going to be, you know, trying to win this and the time that they have. So like, I find 6 to 10 p.m. local time is definitely the easiest. If you go after 10 p.m., you get like crazy stoners that are up late trying to win and may like have secret THC powers that can beat you. And if you play during if you play during the day, you have like unemployed people and students who are going to probably be really good. So I find that, yeah, 6 to 10 p.m. for me in NA is like central time is definitely the most favorable.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing that I wanted to just say quickly, because I don't play squad battles much at all, but obviously one of the weekly objectives to get a team of season player seems to be requiring 4 world-class wins in squad battles. And one thing I've noticed, I think this is probably something that's been picked up on throughout the year, is the Berber spin is like unbelievably good in squad battles. If you can pull off the Berber spin consistently in the direction you want it to go, you'll win squad battles like no problem. It just seems to totally confuse the AI and they kind of shoot off in the wrong direction. So that's something to look out for next time trying to get those world-class wins. But actually, I don't think, it doesn't feel especially hard. Maybe getting 5-0s is maybe not so easy on world-class if you don't play it much, but actually like winning on world-class doesn't seem too difficult, especially as you'll notice you have 4 games each day and some of the games tend to have much easier opponents with lower chemistry. So if you really want to, you can just like play 1 or 2 games against easy opponents one day, then come back to it a bit later in the week. So I don't think like that should be giving people as much of a problem as maybe the DKT.
My helicopter and my squad battles advice would be play on the weekends, because then you can cherry pick the one or two easiest matches and you don't have to wait a full 24 hours. So if you refresh, it's every four hours? I forget what it is. 6 hours, whatever.
Eight hours.
Yeah. Okay. So 3 times in a week, on a Saturday, 3 times in a Sunday, you're going to get out of those 6, probably 4 pretty easy opponents. And that's how you can get your wins there. Also, like I've seen this meme on Twitter. It's like, what's the one sports conspiracy theory that you believe in spite of all evidence? This is my FIFA conspiracy theory that I believe in spite of all evidence. I think legendary is easier than world class.
I agree with that.
You think so?
Yeah, I agree with that. I've lost more to world class than legendary in squad battles and stuff. That's like interesting. That.
Do you think it's like they're more aggressive, or they kind of are drawn out more easily, maybe?
So this is not an official on the record thing, but I think legendary is designed to more simulate human AI. So especially like if they have tendency data for these squad battle clubs, and I don't know how specific or granular they get, that's more easily programmable. So you could get someone who has a sick team but sucks, and if they try to like emulate their splits or statistics, because that stuff's all data powered, it's theoretically possible to make a team play more like a person. Maybe world class is like just purely AI though, so it's more like robotic and it doesn't make as many mistakes, or it's not as aggressive, so you can't like catch them sleeping. I have no idea if that's actually implemented in the game. No one ever told me that on the record, but the first time I played squad battles, a lot of the language, like again, reading between the lines, trying to decode EA speak, the producers were like talking about aspects like that without actually coming out and saying it. So I kind of assumed that there was always like some player data aspect into that, and obviously like so many difficulties don't feel like that. Like professional is usually pretty damn easy, though I think we've all had a frustrating loss in career mode on professional, no matter how good you are. Like, this doesn't make any sense. The computer does those like rebound goals or like kickoff goals that just make you want to pull your hair out. But Yeah, I think for me, it's legendary all day, every day.
Yeah, I mean, I just... Squad battle CPU cheats.
It's so true. I don't believe in scripting, but squad battles, if you play enough squad battles games, there is something funny going on.
Yeah, no, the CPU cheats. I've just accepted.
I feel like this has been a podcast full of cheating and cheese, but we'll probably wrap it up there. But Chu, have you got any final points on this team of the season so far? How would you rate it if you had to give it a rating out of 10?
BPL, I'll give a 9.5 honestly out of 10. I really, this is like the first Premier League team season I've fully like loved seeing. I haven't been this excited from a Premier League team this season since maybe like, I don't know, 13 or something. So 9.5, I think overall. So I guess the first week was a blip. I would say, 8 out of 10.
Cool. Luke, how are you finding it?
I actually, and it has nothing to do with Futhead being part of the vote or anything, I thought this Community Tots was the best one I can remember. I know that some people really missed having the three squads or having like the more esoteric deserved players or whatever. I'm really not into having, you know, whatever, the Easter or like the dude from the Middle East who plays in the African League. Like, I don't need that Tots in my life. All respect to fans for, you know, those clubs, but it's just so hard to make their chemistry work. Like a dude that plays in South Africa from like wherever, Saudi Arabia or something, like that's cool. I always love the Saudi Tots, so shout out to my friends in the Middle East because I miss those like sweaty fullbacks.
Yeah, Elton.
Yeah, Elton was incredible. They had those Brazilians that were like cheeky good, and then they had like those really sweaty fullbacks, so I miss that. The rumors based on a screenshot of EA's website is that the last Tots is going to be a dual release of Calcioa and Ligue 1, which obviously I don't have any advanced information knowing that that's coming. But if that happens, like, will there be a super OP like Fabinho? Well, I mean, I guess he was already in Community Tots, right? So it'd be
Milinkovic-Savic is almost guaranteed.
Yeah, Milinkovic-Savic could be like a really crazy one. We could get like a Dybala that's just like out of control. So I'm curious to see how those, especially because World Cup is coming concurrently, right? So what are they going to do to try to get people to keep playing regular FUT? That'll be really curious to watch. So
cool. All right, well, I think that brings us to the end of this week's FUT Weekly podcast. Thank you very much, Chu, for coming back and sharing your thoughts as always.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Great. And Luke, as always, thanks for coming along.
Appreciate it. Thanks thanks again for having me back.
Great. And thanks very much, listener. It's been a pleasure to have you as well. Hopefully podcast next week, if not the week after. See you very soon. I'm out of the ocean.